right. We mentioned the Mikey Garofalo story there on Geno Smith, and we'll get to that at some point in the show. The deal just keeps looking better and better and better every single day for the Seahawks. And I think the peak freakout meter was the minute the story was announced. That's at right. 3 o'clock on Monday. And ever since then, everyone's blood pressure and heart rate is slowing down big time since Monday at 3 o'clock, because this deal just looks insane for the Seahawks. This starts with Ian. Is that correct? Ian Furness, former Washington State Sportscaster of the Year, Mayor of Maple Valley, host of the Mayor of Maple Valley Open at Druids Glen Golf Course, sat down with Geno Smith on his show earlier this afternoon.
Walk us through the entire process for you and your team, and how it sounds like for a contract of this magnitude, it was fairly easy to get done.
Yeah, you know, from the start, I felt like both sides, you know, wanted to, you know, get something done. You know, from the time I've gotten here, the relationship I've had with Coach Carroll and John Schneider has been just A1. And so we've always had an open line of communication. Coach Carroll and John have done a great job at being open and honest with me, because they know I can handle it, and I do the same with them. And so we both wanted to get, you know, something done that will work for both parties. And I understand that, you know, we have to build a great team here. They understand that you have to pay for a certain caliber of play, and I think we found middle ground with that. I think with Chaffee Fields, my agent, and Kevin, and also Matt Thomas and John Schneider, and the way that they were able to work together in conjunction, it speaks volumes to the type of professionals they are, and I'm just happy we got it done.
Geno, it almost feels like, and when I'm reading into that, and from what you said just now, and from what they said, not only do the people negotiating the contract from the standpoint of the team and the team, you know, the GM, the salary cap guy, but and then the agents, but also the player has to understand all of that. I think sometimes, and maybe I'm not giving guys enough credit, but I'm not sure if everybody understands. You just said something that jumps out at me. You have to as well understand what the process is and then what the limitations are. And it felt like you had a good grasp on what they needed to get done as a team and you wanted to get done individually.
Yeah, and you know, it's always two sides of it. You know, it's a business, and decisions have to be made on both sides, to be honest. But I think the open line of communication that we have, and I think just the way that we've continued to work together, you know, we didn't want to make it a, you know, me against you thing, because a lot of these contracts become that. But instead, we work together, and I think that, you know, that's a good sign.
Geno, I'm wondering with you, did the thought ever cross your mind to go, because you're betting on yourself, right, with the contract itself, with the bonuses and structures, and I mean, none of us know exactly the specifics, but what we have heard, it feels like there are some pretty significant bonuses that you can reach in betting on yourself. A guy that does do that anyway and who has that confidence, did you ever think, hey, I want to bet on myself and test the waters of free agency and see what's out there?
You know, that's certainly a possibility, and there were teams who were interested, and how interested they were, we wouldn't have been able to find out until, you know, free agency started. But, you know, this is a team that gave me an opportunity. You know, I said that after the San Fran, you know, game, that, you know, they gave me an opportunity, and, you know, that's really all I needed, and so I was grateful for that. You know, and I feel like, you know, where we are with the contract, it's a really good spot. You know, it's a really, really good contract for both sides. And ultimately, it allows me to, you know, if I continue to play the way that I have, to get paid in a way that I should. But it doesn't really hinder the team, you know, from making moves in free agency or you know, in any other area. So for me, like I said, it was about working with the team. Obviously, I could have, you know, probably, you know, sought out, you know, more in free agency. But ultimately, I believe in my ability. I believe in this team. I believe in the guys around me and the coaching staff and the front office and my teammates. And I know that if we just come out and play better than we did last year, which I intend to do, everything else will be fine.
Geno Smith joining me, Ian Furness with you this afternoon. Geno, what I'm hearing, and I believe this is the case, is that you probably could have got more guaranteed money, but you had no guarantee that the team you were going to go to was as good a situation as Seattle, maybe on and off the field. Is that accurate?
I would say, you know, I don't know. You know, you don't really know what you'll get. You know, free agency is a wait-and-see approach, but I knew that Seattle, you know, is a place that I've been for the past 4 years, that I've excelled in, and you know, the people around me, like I said, with the front office and the coaching staff, Coach Carroll, they all believe in me and they all trust me. And so, you know, we're not looking at this thing as just a one-shot deal. You know, we've got time to build, and I want to continue to build and grow with this team. I mean, it's always about the guarantee, but you can guarantee yourself by playing well too. So I got significant amount, you know, with guarantees, but I also got the incentives that'll help me, you know, if I do continue to play the way that I expect, you know, which is top 10, top 5, to get paid in that range.
Are you the rare athlete that took a hometown discount, Gino? It kind of feels that way right now. And just, and I say
no,
that
I didn't take a hometown. I didn't take a hometown discount. We just made it work for both sides.
Gino Smith joining me right now. You mentioned this in the press conference. We've heard a lot of players say this. I want you to get specific, because I sometimes wonder, you know, but you hear this from a lot of guys in whatever town they're playing in, if they like the situation. But you talked about the uniqueness of Seattle. And frankly, you might be in a unique situation because you've played for a number and been with a number of different organizations. What is it about this place, the Seattle Seahawks, the Virginia Mason Athletic Center, Pete, John, everything else? What is it about it that does make it unique and I think as well comfortable for guys to play in?
Yeah, I think the entire atmosphere is what makes Seattle different. If you want to talk about just the fans, right, just the 12s, Blue Fridays, right, that doesn't happen everywhere else. You know, this fan base is, you know, one of the fan bases that, you know, if you think about the NFL, everyone talks about, you know, going to Seattle and how loud it is and, you know, how tough an environment it is to play in because of the fans. So the environment, the community, is uplifting. You know, having fans waiting on us after games, win or loss, you know, being there for us and supporting us. Then you talk about inside the building with, you know, just the leadership from John Schneider to Pete Carroll and just the entire coaching staff and everyone in the front office, down to the kitchen staff, the equipment staff, the weight room staff. Everyone works on the same accord. You know, everyone's together and connected. And that feeds off on the players. And in this locker room, I have some friends that, you know, I've known for a long time, and our relationships will surpass our careers. And so being around those guys meant a lot to me. Being with DK and Tyler and, you know, DJ Dallas and, you know, all the guys who I've befriended and you know became a leader for these guys. They watched me work, you know, from the time I was a backup. You know, never saying anything, always just helping, working my butt off, though, knowing that I would get opportunity. And for them to see these things happen now, I want to continue to build on it with them. You know, I don't want to go anywhere else. And, you know, I know that no matter where I go, you know, I'm going to be the same player because of how I work. But it was special and important for me to be here with these guys.
Gino, I think that's well said, especially since we see so many guys that come back. Maybe a Bruce Irvin, for example, he's gone, he comes back, you know, and all that. Right. Like, I mean, I think that speaks volumes. Your leadership and your respect that you had, I thought that was, every time I talked to a guy post game last year, they said the same thing about you. It was just the respect they had for you in the huddle, in the locker room, the weight room, in the meeting room, etc. How important is that you were able to and have that respect to your teammates? And it sounds like you earned it even well before you were a starter.
Yeah, that's extremely important. You know, leadership comes in many, you know, shapes and sizes and different forms. And for me, it was important for me, like you said, just to be, you know, a leader for these guys, to earn their respect. And I'm continuing to earn their respect. You know, I don't think that, you know, it stops here. I've got to continue to work and continue to earn the respect of the guys around me through my consistency and through my hard work. And so, you know, I want to continue to push these guys past their limits the same way I push myself. And knowing the type of, you know, coaching staff that we have, you know, the type of community that we have, the type of fan base that we have, we want to win Super Bowls. That's all we talk about. And the guys believe in me and I believe in them. And so we got a lot of work to do. But, you know, I believe we got the right guys on this team and in this locker room. And I know we're going to add more, you know, because of the type of, you know, front office that we have. They always pick the right guys. And so I just look forward to continuing to lead these guys and continuing to be the consummate professional and that voice in the locker room that's always steady.
When you're looking around that locker room and you see number 16 and you see number 14 and you see those tight ends and you see a guy like Ken Walker behind you, you got a lot of talent around you as well. What does that mean to you as a quarterback? Again, like if there's a chance to go somewhere else, but you could look around there, you're not going to find DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, or Ken Walker everywhere else, are you?
No, you're not. You said that exactly right. And so, and not just the type of players they are, but the type of people they are. You know, the type of, you know, humble person that Ken Walker is. Such a great player, but just a, such a humble soul. And DK as well. Tyler Lockett, man, I mean, talk about a guy who, you know, doesn't get always get the respect he deserves as one of the better receivers in this league, but he doesn't care about it. You know, he just goes and does his thing every single week. And when you have guys like that around you, and not just on the offensive side, but on the defense as well, on the special teams, you know, Nick Ballore and Jason Myers and just all the guys, you know, it just feels right. And so when you have those guys around you, it makes your job a lot easier. All I have to do is go out there and be the best version of myself, be consistent, you know, lead these guys and, you know, let them go out there and make all the hard plays.
Second year as the starter with Shane Waldron. You know, I mean, that what will that do for you as a quarterback as well? Because I think I would say, you know what, he knows what you can do. You know what he's capable of. You guys probably have a familiarity. It's one thing when you get the headset on and on the sideline and you're watching somebody else out there. But as the starter, what do you think, you know, that comfort level, how much better of a quarterback can you be in year two as a starter with working with Shane?
Yeah, that's the challenge that we have, you know, ahead of us, and that's what we look forward to. Obviously, last year we did a bunch of great things, and we were very explosive, and we were also efficient, you know, and that's something that, you know, rarely happens, but we were good in all phases. You know, we were good in the passing game, we were good in the running game, and we were pretty decent, you know, in the red zone and third down, but those are the areas we can improve on, you know, really being, you know, a top five team in the red zone, really being a top five team on third downs, and then ultimately cutting down the turnovers and just being overall better in every single aspect of the game. You know, I really believe those things are going to, you know, improve. And having a second year with Shane and doing a bunch of self-scouting, you know, figuring out ways to add to what we did last year, but also be innovative and create new ways is fun, and that's the challenge that we have ahead of us.
There's, you know, listen, they signed a quarterback for 3 years. It was a Pro Bowler last year that set a franchise record for yards and a lot of other records as well. It doesn't make sense that they would take a quarterback at the number five pick. It also doesn't make sense that a team would say, yeah, we're not going to do that either, because that's not the time of the year for guys to be tipping their hand. But they're going to draft a quarterback, or someone's going to have to come in and be a backup. Maybe it's a rookie. How will you treat that?
Just as I've always have. You know, I was a backup in this league for a few years, and, you know, being around guys like Eli and Phillip, you know, Phillip and I, we talk a bunch, and just being around guys like that and being able to learn from those guys, as well as, you know, give those guys some insight on the way that I look at the game, you know, I believe it helped me become a better player. And so if we, you know, get a young quarterback or whoever's in that, you know, QB room, we are all connected. We all help one another. We have a process of how we do things. And, you know, it'll be fun to, you know, kind of, you know, whoever it is to just bring them in and allow them to be a part of that. You know, I believe in our room, you know, coach Tater Smith and, you know, we got, you know, Shane Waldron in there. Now we got coach Greg Olson in there, you know, and then we got Kerry Joseph and myself right now, but whoever we have, you know, we're connected. We all work together. And if it's a young guy, I'm going to teach him everything I know and, you know, try and help him be the best that he can be. You know, just as I would hope someone would have done for me when I was younger.
Yeah. And it doesn't always happen. I mean, there's quarterbacks that don't say that, but at the same time, it's, you just mentioned it. The goal is one thing, is to win a Super Bowl. How close are you? How close is this team? You got to the playoffs last season. You know, you always hear, you know, playoff team is different than a Super Bowl contending team. How close are you guys?
Right. You know, I think that's up to us to decide. It's up to us to decide how close we are. And nothing we did last year is going to matter. You know, it's a completely new season. Things are going to, different dynamics. Things are going to be different. And we just got to go out there and want it more and just go out there and play, you know, with that heart and that passion that we have. It starts with us winning the division. And, you know, right now, San Fran's, you know, the head of the division right now. So we've got to, you know, figure out a way to get that first and then, you know, talk about advancing in the playoffs. But, you know, how close we are, it really comes down to what we do on game day. You know, nothing I can say here is going to help us get there. It's about us executing when the time's right.
A couple more things for you. One is, when you sign that money, listen, you've done well. You've mentioned it a number of times. I think everyone appreciates your perspective. Like, you know, hey, if you never got a chance to be a starter, you were in the NFL for over a decade. You did make some really good money. But now you've made life-changing money, generational money as well. I know you've got a foundation. I think you did something last year with turkeys, right, at Thanksgiving. You mentioned your parents as well. What's the thing that you want to do now that you've made that kind of money? Is it something with the parents, the foundation? Because you put yourself in a whole different world right now.
Yeah, just be smart with it. You know, I'm a big investor, and I'm always, you know, looking for new ways to, you know, invest and improve. And, you know, I'm big on innovation. I'm always looking for the new cutting edge things to, you know, to invest in. So for me, it's just being smart with it, the same as I've always had, you know, using it. And, you know, the key and the goal is to use your money to make more money. You know, that's what it's about.
Yep.
So, for me, just, you know, being smart, taking my time. You know, I'm not in a rush, but looking for the right ways to do it.
Noted financial analyst and investor Bobby Wagner might be calling you to see, you know, I mean,
Oh, no, me and Bobby, we talk all the time, man. We have some deep conversations. That's my boy.
Is there going to be a 54 jersey hanging next to 7 in the locker room this year? What do you think? Can you tamper with him yet? What's going on?
I don't know. I probably shouldn't say anything, so I'll just be quiet on that.
I get you. I don't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah, Bobby's been released, right? So he's available.
Yep, he's out there hanging.
Ain't no tampering going on with Bobby because he's a free man. I did find it interesting, though, when Ian asked Gino about drafting somebody, and Gino's response is, you know what? I'm going to teach that guy everything I know. And then I compare and contrast that to what Ben Roethlisberger said when the Steelers drafted Kenny Pickett, and he said,
screw him.
Right? I mean, it was the exact opposite reaction that Geno Smith had. Now, I get it. Big Ben's in a different level of player than Geno Smith is, right? Guy's got a couple of titles, all that, blah, blah, blah. But both of them towards the end of their careers, obviously, Ben was older when he said that about Kenny Pickett. But one guy is saying, yeah, bring it on. I'll teach that guy everything I know. And the other guy had no interest whatsoever. He said he could have sought out more money in free agency. Do we believe that Geno Smith believes that he honestly could have gotten more money with somebody else but chose to stay in Seattle because he wanted to repay the Hawks for what they did? Or does Geno Smith and his agent, do they both believe that he got the best deal he could have gotten right here in Seattle?
I think he believes that he probably could have gotten more guaranteed money elsewhere. But I don't think, you know, in the discussions between Geno and his agent, I don't think there was a consensus that, wow, you can get massively more money someplace else. Because if they really thought they could get massively more money someplace else, they would have gone to free agents.
I think you're right. And I think, you know, you don't want to be that skeptical Scotty guy when something like this comes out. You want to take a guy at his word. He's glowing about the Seahawks. He loves the Seahawks. And you know what? Look, I mean, let's be real, guys. He's got reasons to love the Seahawks. He's got about $40 million in year one guaranteed to love the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. Nobody else in the league would have given Geno Smith this opportunity.
Well, and the loyalty by Pete Carroll to go to him every single year as Russell Wilson's backup.
Absolutely.
And how many times, DUI.
Well, how many times have we said that the guy had no offers? He had no offers over the offseason. He had one offer, and that was to go back to the Seahawks and to back up Russell Wilson, right?
Yep.
And then he took it. And then Russell Wilson got traded. And then they re-signed Geno Smith to be their starting quarterback. So I think he does in some ways owe the Seahawks a thing or two. He does owe Pete Carroll a thing or two. In 45, 50 years, the next generation of Smiths, his grandkids, are going to be running around living in a mansion, you know, members at a golf and country club and, you know, paying for great school, great schooling. And they're going to all look back and thank Pete Carroll for what he did. Honestly, this guy owes Pete Carroll a massive debt of gratitude because he could have said, you know what, we're going to move on. We're going to give the job to somebody else. We're going to rip off the Band-Aid and draft a rookie or sign a free agent. We know what you're all about. You've been here for 3 or 4 years. And Pete Carroll, to his defense and credit, knew what he was all about and gave the guy the starting job. So he's got reasons to be in debt to this franchise and Pete Carroll. All right, we're going to break. Mike Jarecki is going to join us from Arizona. Cardinals are on the clock at number 3 in the upcoming NFL draft. And apparently a bunch of players in Arizona can't stand Kyler Murray. We're going to talk to Mike Jarecki about that coming up next on 93.3 KJR FM.
Now back to Softy and Dick.
Cut out on the field. Two-handed stuff.
And that's the dagger.
On your home for the Rim Redland coverage of March Madness.
Three catches.
Up update from Pac-12 tournament action in Vegas. 3:13 to play second half. Wazoo up on Oregon 70-68. Oregon led by 18 points late in the first half of this game, and Wazoo has come back. It's now a tie game, by the way, with 3 minutes to play. 3:04 to play, 70-70. Either way, you're happy. Either way, you're irritated, no matter what happens in this game. If you're a Husky fan, but we had that conversation earlier, who are you pulling for in the Wazoo-Oregon game? Hit us up, 494-51, and let us know. Joining us right now on the radio show, hey, it's good to have this guy back on the program, for crying out loud, from the Arizona Football Daily Podcast, our longtime pal, 29 years covering the NFL and the Cardinals. He began when he was 6 years old, by the way, Dick, doing that. Mike Jarecki is back with us on the radio show from Phoenix. Michael, how are you, pal?
Good. I think the last time I saw you, Softy, was probably at the Final Four, because at the time we were both affiliated, maybe you still are, with Westwood One.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, don't tell people the last time we saw each other. Just keep that between us, all right? I don't want people knowing about that stuff. Yeah, but
it was in a public forum, so we're good.
Exactly. Well, it's great to have you back on the show. And, dude, first of all, tell me about the state of the union with this Arizona Cardinal football team. Before we talk about what they're going to do at number three with that pick if they stay there, how would you describe the state of the union with the Arizona Cardinals franchise right now?
Just a lot of, I would say that there's a cloud hanging over the franchise based on Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury. You know, I was working for the franchise for 4 years, and I recall that morning when I got the email that they extended Keim and Cliff Kingsbury, and I wasn't the only one. I was like, why? What have they proven? And then they give, you know, Kyler Murray the extension, and I know for a fact that inside the building they wanted to wait another year. But his agent, Eric Burkhart, said he's going to hold in, which means he would come to training camp and act like he has a fake hamstring injury. He was only going to make $5.5 million. Now, granted, he made $36 to sign the first overall pick. They pick up his fifth-year option, which is $29 million. But nobody put the gun to their head, but I just don't know. And now they're paying Kingsbury. He had to look for a couple of jobs, and now he's probably on the beach with his supermodel and collecting money. And, you know, I think they're on a budget this year, you know, just based on Kyler's going to be $50 million next year. You know, I'm intrigued with the new regime, first-time general manager and first-time head coach. But, you know, they're going to draft for need. You know, you always hear best available player, but there's always a need involved. So, you know, we'll get into the pick here. But, you know, I anticipate they're going to trade DeAndre Hopkins here in a second and a conditional or a player. So really, he doesn't want to be here anymore. Him and Kyler don't get along. And, you know, I think there's Kansas City, Dallas, possibly Chicago. Maybe they get Chase Claypool in the trade. But it's just too much, like, you know, when the NFLPA come out with their rankings, is, you know, they don't have a daycare center. And people say, well, these guys are millionaires. Listen, when Anquan Boldin was traded to the Ravens, he told me they have a daycare center, they have a dry cleaning place, and they have a barbershop in the facility. Players like that. I mean, those are perks that the Cardinals just can't do. And let's be honest, a lot of these owners have other businesses, so they're just – I just think they're – you know, the staff is probably the youngest staff in the NFL. We'll see how it works out, but, you know, they're not paying – they got all first-time coordinators. They're getting guys out of college. So, you know, I think it's a total rebuild for the next 2 years.
If the Cardinals could have done it all over again, how would they have handled the Kyler Murray situation? Would they have just maybe gone to the fifth-year option and then franchise tag him like Baltimore just so they didn't have to pay him a long-term deal?
Yes. Yeah, totally. Because, you know, they're just Burkhart, the first day of the combine, I think it was a couple of years ago, maybe it was last year, but he came out with this two-letter spacing, and he put him on blast. And, you know, he bullied him, actually. And so, you know, the thing is, you know, they were 7-0 and 10-2, and Murray was playing like an MVP. But, you know, they put that clause in his contract where they, you know, each team gives players iPads. And so a lot of guys take it home, but sounds like he was just putting on his passenger seat and he was playing, you know, Call of Duty. But the fact that they had to put that in there and then they were embarrassed about that. So he doesn't study film. And luckily they had Colt McCoy because he really studies film with him. And you know, Kevin Beechin came out yesterday and said he needs to grow up. And, you know, that's a fact. So I hope he comes back from the ACL, as a meniscus tear. We'll see if he's the same guy, but they're really stuck with him for the next couple of years.
Yeah. Well, Mike Jarecki with us on the radio show from the Arizona Football Podcast. And Mike, let's get to the number three pick. So we're living in a world right now where in our little mini mock here, the Colts have traded up. They took Bryce Young at number one with the Bears pick. The Texans took CJ Stroud, right, at number two with Matt Thomas on the show yesterday. If that's the way this thing plays out and the Cardinals keep that pick at number three, what are they doing here?
No way. I mean, they're moving down. I think Carolina and Atlanta would be options, depending on, you know, which quarterback's on the board. I think they would trade down at number nine or eight and get Christian Gonzalez, who's probably the best corner in the draft. And it wouldn't surprise me if they traded down again. Again, they're going to draft for need. They got three compensatory picks, and they're picking third in overall in each round. So I don't see them staying at three.
When does Kyler Murray come back? When does he play his first game, you think?
It's a good question. I think they're going to try to go after Jacoby Brissett. They hired you know, the quarterback's coach from the Browns, and I think Gardner Minshew would be an option. So I was told 8 to 12 months, but they're hoping maybe October, if not, you know, maybe early November. And then, you know, is he going to be able to, you know, be the dual quarterback they want? But one thing I do know that, you know, he normally works out in Dallas in the offseason, but he's been at the facility. And I just don't know when he's going to be able to step on the field. He's got to learn a brand new system. So he'll be involved in the meetings, and the meetings have tests. I mean, he's got to watch film, and they will ask you questions in the meeting, put you on the hot seat, and see if he can answer it because he has to know that. But it's going to be difficult to learn on the fly in the meetings versus being on the field.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Hopkins, and look, you know, obviously he hasn't had the greatest supporting cast since he came to Arizona. The Seahawks would love to have a third wide receiver on this football team. I think it'd be great if DeAndre Hopkins was that guy, but two-part question. Number one, Mike, what do you think it would take to get him? I know he hired an agent again, so he's got somebody repping him. What would it take to get him out of Arizona? And honestly, can the guy still play?
Yes. I mean, he doesn't practice a lot. You know, when he came in, you know, they always said Nuke doesn't miss games, but he had a six-game suspension. He made it business decision last year where he tapped out, didn't want to play towards the end of the season. I get it, because you don't want to be injured going to free agency. No, I think he's still productive. You know, the thing is, though, you know, when he got that PED suspension, he waived his no trade clause. But I think, you know, he's met with Monty Lufenfurt, the general manager, a couple of times. And I think the parameters, I was told, was a second round pick and a conditional pick. So, you know, Dallas, Kansas City, people are trying to, you know, connect the dots to New England. I don't know why you go there and play with Mac Jones. If you guys go back to the Hard Knocks, when he's talking to Sean Jefferson, who's now with the Panthers wide receivers coach, he's like, you know, basically, I got to get in the playoffs. I got to put numbers up in the playoffs if I want to get to the Hall of Fame. And that's not going to happen in Arizona. So, I like covering Hop, but he just doesn't practice a lot during the week, and so it's going to be interesting, you know, what team he goes to, because he's going to have to learn his system.
No doubt. Mike Jarecki, listen, man, great stuff. Great to hear your voice. Glad to hear you're doing great with the podcast down there. Keep it up, and we'll talk down the road. All right, pal?
Thank you.
Yeah, hold on, though. Kevin Durant, I mean, you guys are familiar with the situation. I mean, he's been here for 3 weeks, and then yesterday, you know, he's not able to play. So it's like in Phoenix, it seems like we don't it happens all the time. We're kind of cursed in our sports world. The only championship we have is the Diamondbacks, and they pretty much bought that with Jerry Colangelo, and rightfully so. So we're hoping Durant can get a championship here because it's been Slim Pickens for the last 2 years.
Yeah, well, that's his nickname is Slim Pickens, by the way, and the Grim Reaper. So good well, luck also, with him.
You got to tell the ball boy that he's got to dry off the floor so right? he doesn't slip and fall during pregame.
No, that's not true.
Oh, okay.
No, that's not true because he wasn't sweating, and I noticed when he went down, all of a sudden we saw the ball boys go out there with the sweepers. I think it was basically the sneakers. I mean, and you could see he tightened them up, and he practiced for 10 more minutes, but now he's going to be out at least 2 weeks. So, but it would have been the biggest game since Barkley's been here in the regular season, and unfortunately it didn't happen last night.
Unbelievable. Hey, man, great stuff, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk down the road. Take care, all right, pal?
You got it. Thanks, guys. Take care. You bet.
Mike Jarecki with us on the radio show. Oregon, Washington State. When we come back, we'll probably have a final score for you. Testimonials coming next, though, as well. You're a dog fan. Who were you pulling for in this Oregon-Wazoo game? Now, why was that a block, but the other play wasn't on the other end,
well,
by the way?
That was a block. That was clean.
494-51. Get him in now to Testimonials next on 93.3 KJR-FM.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
God, I thought by now we'd have a final.
The last 2 minutes have taken a half
an
hour.
No, when we went to the break, I think there were 14 seconds left on the game clock. They've run off 5 seconds. How long was that commercial break we just took, by the way?
That was...
6 minutes?
Yeah, just over six.
5 seconds in 6 minutes of real time just ran off the clock with this Oregon-Wazoo game. Oregon leading 73-70 with 9.5 seconds to go in the game in Vegas. I believe the Ducks also have the ball as well. All right, Textimonials 494-51. By the way, William Inge, Husky defensive coordinator, will join us next segment, 5 o'clock on the radio show. Everett Fitzhugh will join us from the booth at Climate Pledge before the Kraken and Ottawa coming up at about 6:15 tonight right here on 93.3 KJR-FM. 494-51, we got some Oregon Cougar takes on this thing. You're a dog fan. Who are people pulling for in this basketball game today?
Cougars versus the Ducks. Like choosing between a crab sandwich or poop soup.
Which would you rather have? I think I'd take the crab sandwich because I might the bread and like the lettuce and the tomato might kind of drown out the rest.
I mean, you really want to have this conversation? Crab sandwich or poop soup? Which one? I didn't bring anything up.
He brought it up.
What are you blaming me for?
Yeah, it can't be poop soup. No, that's not a winner.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just thinking about, like, you know, maybe, dude, I got no idea.
Well, my
idea.
Question is, which
Either
one's,
way you're throwing up.
Who's the crab sandwich and who's the poop soup?
Which team's which? Well, if you'd rather have the crab sandwich, then
Wazoo.
I would say the Cougars are the crab sandwich.
I would agree with that.
Yes, that's what I would say. Man, this is disgusting. This is a family show. What happened to you people? All right, what's next?
Puck and Jim spent their whole show talking you dub poops. More than I've ever heard from 3 to 6.
Yeah. Why do you think they did that, by the way? Because UW lost to Colorado and Mike Hopkins is about to get fired. That's why they're talking Husky basketball. If Washington was a number one seed or a number two seed
Crickets.
In the Pac-12 tournament in Las Vegas, do you think they're coming up on that show? Hell no, they're not coming up on that show. All right, what's next?
Hate, hate, hate the Ducks. Always root against them. Don't mind the Cougs.
Okay, well, if you were rooting for Washington State in this game, some bad news. Oregon's heading to the free throw line, up 3 with 6.4 seconds left to go. But I'm not concerned about Oregon in the next round against Arizona.
No.
Neither should you be. This was a lock for Arizona and UCLA to play in the Pac-12 championship game anyway. So, hey, look, man, this is the best of both worlds. Wazoo gets the hell out of there. Their NCAA tournament hopes were slimmed to none anyway. They're not going to make it. Oregon gets the crap kicked out of him by Arizona. It's all good. We all move on.
This was as much of a foregone conclusion as Gonzaga St. Mary's in the West Coast Conference title game.
Yeah, and Gonzaga kicked the crap out of St. Mary's. And by the way, did you watch the last UCLA Arizona game?
Yes, I saw some of it.
UCLA beat the piss out of Arizona in that game. 30 minutes. They took them to school. All right, go ahead.
The only things I can handle about the Ducks is their colors. Go Sonics. And a couple of my friends went there, and my friendship is more important.
Oh. I was going to say, what are the Oregon colors? Do you have any idea? I mean, they're wearing green and white today.
Well, I've seen pink. You know, I've seen black.
I've seen brown.
Seen silver.
I've seen all of it. You've seen every damn color in the freaking rainbow, man. Oregon should be a cereal, not a freaking sports team. Are you kidding me? Final 75-70. Oregon wins the game. Wazoo's done. All right, what's next?
The Seahawks should hire Geno Smith as an assistant coach once he is done playing.
Why not? Why not?
Well, he's a tremendous leader. Yeah. Guys love him.
Absolutely. Make him your quarterback coach. What the heck?
Here's the deal, though. Geno Smith is going to have more years in the NFL with some other team before he retires.
No doubt. Well, and look, you know, like a guy was texting me, and this may be a part of the text. I have no idea if it is. I apologize. That, you know, Pete Carroll also owes Geno Smith for what happened a year ago. Is that coming up next? All right, go ahead and hit it. Fine.
Pete Carroll owes Geno Smith as well. Last season's playoffs are not possible without Geno.
Okay, well, look, he also wrote, don't be an idiot. Geno could have moved on as well, which he could have. And my point is this. If Geno Smith would have cashed out in free agency with somebody else this year, he still would have owed Pete Carroll for putting him in that position to begin with.
Are we really going with the narrative, Texter, that Geno Smith saved Pete Carroll's ass last year?
That's
Are we
what he's
really
saying.
Going yes, with that narrative?
That's what he's saying, that the defense was so bad that Geno Smith actually made a difference between them making the playoffs and not making the playoffs. And I'm not saying he's crazy. They went
and
9-8.
Who should we credit for putting him in that position when no one
Pete
else
Carroll.
Thought he should be in that position?
Pete Carroll, 100%. Pete Carroll, absolutely. I mean, guys, just go back and look at how many offers Geno Smith had. And, hey, look, I'll give Geno credit for being a major reason why the Seahawks made the postseason last year. There's no question about that. Without Geno Smith, let's say they had Drew Locke, and Drew Locke was subpar. He was an average quarterback, and they go 7-10. And they don't make the playoffs. So I got no problem. I don't know what Geno's war was last year, for example.
Look that up.
But I got no problem giving Geno credit for the difference between 9-8 and 8-9 and missing the playoffs. Absolutely. But I still think that Geno Smith needed Pete Carroll and the Seahawks more than the Seahawks needed Geno Smith. And by the way, don't just assume that because the Seahawks don't sign Geno that they go with Drew Locke. They may have brought in another veteran free agent or made a deal for another veteran quarterback to compete with Drew Locke. All right, we're going to break. Let's talk some Husky football. William Inge, defensive coordinator for the Dogs, will join us in about 6 minutes right here on 93.3 KJ.